This is Betty Tunnell speaking for the Oral History Series sponsored by the Decatur Public Library. Our guest today is Mr. Lester J. Grant, who served the Decatur School District for 30 years from 1937 to 1967. And from 1950 to 1967, he was superintendent of the Decatur School District. We are recording on March 28, 1988 at 254 East Pearson Avenue in Decatur. Oh, Mr. Grant, it's too bad we can't present a replay of the appreciation dinner given in your honor at the Masonic Temple on May 24, 1967 at the time of your retirement. The comments and speeches made then would have expressed much better than I can today the high esteem and great appreciation the community holds for you. Well, since we can't have such a replay, I'll ask you to share your recollections of those years you spent with the Decatur schools.
But I do have a recording of the whole affair.
Go ahead. It was a delightful occasion.
I have a recording and a typed copy of the whole affair.
Well, it would be a little beyond our time limit to replay it today in audio. So we'll just remember some of the... It was a great occasion, wasn't it?
It was for me.
Well, I'm sure it was.
And I might add, I'd be glad to make a copy tape available to the library.
Well,
if they'd like
great.
To have it.
Why don't we file that along with this recording? It would be just great.
It would be fine.
Very fine. All right, now, before we talk about the Decatur School, your years with the Decatur Schools, let's go back to your early life. I believe you were born and grew up in Bunker Hill, Illinois?
That's correct.
Well, what were those years like?
Well, those were pretty tough years back in 1924, well, 1906 to 1924.
Where is Bunker Hill?
Bunker Hill is in Macoupin County, about 20 miles south of Carlinville, the capital of the county seat, I should say.
Uh-huh.
So during those years was the 1918 First World War, and the economy wasn't thriving even then very much.
Mm-hmm.
So there were some pretty rough years in those period, in that period.
You went to school there?
I went to school, yes, through high school.
Mm-hmm.
Graduated from Bunker Hill High School in 1924.
Mm-hmm. What made you decide on teaching as a career?
Well, jobs were pretty hard to find at that time. One didn't have to have a degree to become a teacher. One could take a teacher's examination, county conducted examination, and if you passed that properly, you could get a teacher certificate. I had some options of going to work in the coal mine or trying the teacher's examination, which I did,
mm-hmm.
and passed it, and
mm-hmm.
I got my first job.
And no college was required?
No, didn't require any. I did get the assignment for teaching. And incidentally, that was a fifth grade job in Wilsonville, where my folks were living at the time. And at that time, Illinois State University, which was Normal, that was the name of the school at that time, had what they call mid-spring and two summer terms. So I started to there to go to school there immediately after I got the job, which was about the 1st of May. And that's where I went on finally to get my bachelor's degree.
Okay. Well, I suppose in the high school senior graduate wouldn't have too much trouble with the fifth grade. You probably impressed the children very well.
Well, I'll tell you, Wilsonville was a mining town. They had just sunk a new mine in the town, and most of the people who'd moved in to work in that mine were foreign people from Italy, Lithuania, a lot of German people, mostly Italian, however. And one never found a more grateful set of parents to see to it that their youngsters got a good education. You didn't have to worry about parental support, I'll tell you. You tell them what you wanted, and that's what they got.
So you had a good start.
I was there 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I taught the fifth grade the first year, sixth grade the second year, and then next year I moved up to principal.
Very good.
And the fourth year I got my fifth graders back again.
Well, you had a good start then. And then from Wilsonville, you went to?
I went to Monticello as principal of Lincoln School.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in that position for 8 years. Lincoln is an elementary school in Monticello. Those were 8 delightful years, mm-hmm. too. It's a lovely community to work in, and people were very supportive. And I left there in 1937 to come to Decatur. I almost backed out on coming.
And why was that? Because you were enjoying Monticello?
I enjoyed Monticello so much. And after I had signed a contract to come here, Mr. Harris, who was then superintendent of schools, had given me the contract. That was when one could make the total sum of $1,580 a year. I had talked to a few people in Decatur just when I was passing through, and one of them said, "Oh, you never want to come to Decatur. There's nothing here for you." I even went to the extent of asking Mr. Harris to release me from my contract. Oh, he said, "No, you don't pay any attention to that. That's the greatest favor I've ever had, you know."
Well, great. It was a great gain for Decatur that you were able to, that you finally decided to come here. But what happened to you? I know what I want to ask you. You had some very important events in your life before you came here, didn't you? Your personal life.
Oh, yes, I did.
Your marriage?
Yeah, oh, yes. That's 1932. I married my present wife and only one.
Uh-huh.
And where
did you meet her?
Well, now, this is coincident. As I said, I went to Normal or ISU to summer school, and incidentally, that's all of my education, higher education through the master's degree was in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
I never went to college a regular year. Well, I met her, she was going to up there to school too. She was from Pocahontas, or down near Edwardsville.
Mm-hmm.
She was going home on what was then the Chicago and Alton Railroad with my aunt, who was also up there at school, and that's how I met her.
Oh, well.
Met her on the train.
Uh-huh. Well, very good.
And that developed into...
And it's been a very happy marriage.
It has been.
And do you have children?
We have two girls, one now living in Newton, Massachusetts, and the other one in Houston, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I have two grandchildren in Houston, Texas.
Mm-hmm. But you came to Decatur in 1937.
Right.
As a young married man.
I did.
And now tell us about your experiences here.
Well, I taught my first year at Roosevelt Junior High School. I taught social studies, and the next year, I was appointed principal of Garfield School.
Mm-hmm. I think you were destined to be an administrator. It didn't take people long to put you in an administrative position.
Well, I was interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
My experience at Normal with the principal instructors I had up there led me to think in that direction. In fact, I got my degree, both bachelor's and master's, in school administration, economics, and social studies, mm-hmm. or history. I was at Garfield School then as principal, mm-hmm. from 1938 to 1943. That was, again, another year of wars, you know.
Yes, right.
It wasn't war for me, but it was great in my experience in Garfield, again, was wonderful. We had a PTA that nobody could exceed.
Yeah.
That was during time when we were rationing food and gasoline and you name it, and the PTAs were called upon to help with that registration, which they did without even having to ask, just suggested, and they were there ready to help you.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a very happy experience. My next year I went to Woodrow Wilson as principal. I was there only 1 year. That too was great. I see people on the street now that were ninth graders when I was there.
Yeah.
The doctors or lawyers or someone else that are now practicing here. Then Mr. McIntosh, who was then superintendent of schools, resigned to take a job in mm-hmm. Rockford, Illinois, and I was named assistant superintendent. Well, as assistant superintendent for 6 years, from 1944 to 1950, again, we had a world war business on our hands, Korean War, I guess it was, and there were a lot of problems there with people who were leaving, problem getting staff and that sort of thing. And as I said, Mr. McIntosh went to Rockford and the school board appointed me his successor in 1950, October 1st.
Well, that 1950 was a critical year in that the war had ended and men were coming back, resuming their positions all over the world. And the baby boom started, so mm-hmm. you must have had rapidly increasing enrollment. How did you cope with all of this?
Well, I've always appreciated having a challenge, and that was a challenge. We had, as you say, people coming back from the service. One gratifying thing about part of that was that many of those who had left for the service recognized the real importance of education, and they were coming in and ready to give their best to get it. We had shortage of supplies as well as staff, and it was a real challenge, but I liked it.
You lived through it, and it came out all right. But then you had to have some changes for the Decatur school system, didn't you? For one thing, you had to have room for all these new students. What happened then?
Yes, well, when I took over superintendent, we had a little over 9,000 students and 300 staff, certificated staff. So as those babies came along and got to going to school, we were in the process of getting approval and providing the facilities as well as the program. So during the course of my tenure from 1950 to the time I retired, we had built 17 new schools, 17 additions, and improved the condition of several of those who already had.
And that included some new high schools too, didn't it?
Oh yes, it included Eisenhower High School, MacArthur High School, I've forgotten how many elementary schools, mm-hmm. but those were all in it.
And Lakeview was added later?
Lakeview, the district annexed to Decatur in 1959.
Mm-hmm.
that added a fourth high school to our district.
All these buildings must have required a lot of money. How did you finance it?
Well, the first major program were the two high schools with several elementary schools included. And we had to go for a referendum, which we did. And as far as I'm concerned, I didn't have to do very much about it.
The public took care of it.
The public, I had people who were interested in it. Again, PTAs were a very, very strong force in the whole thing. Businesses had representative committees who were out pushing for it. Of course, I didn't sit by and do nothing, but they were a great help in that referendum, which was then for $7 million something, which was a pretty big bite at that time, went over with a bang.
Good. There were also, the Board of Education itself changed during this time too, didn't it?
Yes. The board, 1956, the Board of Education size was changed from 3 members to 7 members. Mm-hmm. Decatur is and was then, well, ever since its inception, was a special charter district.
What does that mean?
Well, that meant it had special privileges that other districts didn't have. For example, such as acquiring a site for a new school building or an education, mm-hmm. for educational purpose, a playground if they wanted it, without a referendum, which meant that sometimes sites became a problem, the selection of sites in other districts. It meant too that our school district was at that time, under the special charter, coterminous with the city of Decatur. Now that part has since changed, but it's still a special charter district. And well, there were some other advantages, but those were the principal ones.
Mm-hmm.
And law permitted them to go to 7 members. There wasn't any problem there. So it provided a wider representation on the board.
Mm-hmm. We know that the problem of civil rights and racial discrimination was beginning to come about at this time. Did you have any problem with those questions?
No, I didn't. Johns Hill Junior High School, which was then Johns Hill Junior High School, and Riverside School, now non-existent, were the principal congregation of minorities. We didn't call them black and white in those days. We called them youngsters or people. And we had representative groups from all the schools we had in town. We met regularly to talk about educational program facilities and such. And I remember so vividly that people representing Johns Hill, for example, colored people, if you will, on the committee, repeatedly said, "We don't care what color youngsters come to our school. All we want is an equal educational opportunity."
So you didn't really have a problem?
No, we did
not.
We did not.
Well, you were very fortunate compared to some mm-hmm. other communities.
Yes. Yes, I can agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we tried to be fully representative. Mm-hmm. Now, there were some schools in the district at that time that were called elite, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dennis School area, for example, that was the school district to live in. That wasn't because their program was any different, except that the people who then were living in that area appeared to be more affluent than some other districts in town, and they were willing to personally provide more funds for playground equipment and programs in the school that the rest of the school district as a whole was not providing. So there was that east-west feeling, but that had nothing to do with color.
Well, Mr. Grant, I'd like to have you tell a story that I heard about from your dinner, appreciation dinner, came out at that time. I think a lot of this, of your ease of handling this might have come from the way you handled the students, too. There was a story at the time that you helped a boy by giving him an F. Would you tell us about that?
Yes, I remember that one very vividly. That's the one year I was at Woodrow Wilson Junior High School. And some of the boys got the idea. One needs to know the structure of Woodrow Wilson Junior High School. It's the bottom floor is in the basement, so to speak, and then there are two floors above it. Well, these youngsters got the idea they were going to get out of the school without going out the right way. So a few of them, when the library was on the first floor, not the basement floor, but the first floor, and a few of them got the idea they could jump out the library window, which wasn't very far down. And I caught one of them, and we had a little session. That's when he got the F in deportment. And he and I remember that so vividly to this day.
Well,
in fact, I saw him at lunch last week.
He turned out all right, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He turned out, he has a very responsible job indicator and has had for years.
And a good family, good position.
Yes, he has.
So you really did help him.
He married a lovely girl who was in ninth grade at Woodrow Wilson at the same time.
Well, very good. You did add a black teacher to the faculty at that time, didn't you?
Yes. I think I was assistant superintendent at that time. Yes, we did. We brought, first I must emphasize this, I was looking for people best qualified for the job. I wasn't interested in whether they were black, white, or Jewish, or what they were. I wanted the best qualified person, and the best one we could find for that, at that time, for that a particular job at French school, was Lizzie Johnson, she was from Champaign, had been on the staff over there. I brought her to Decatur, and she's done a great job, as far as I'm concerned, Decatur.
And everything worked out all right.
Yes, sir. Well, I might add this. When she came to teach, there was one family in the French school district who raised a little fuss about it to begin with. And my comment was to that family, you let your little girl stay in Mrs. Johnson's room for 2 weeks. If you don't like it then, come let me know. And would you know, at the end of 2 weeks, I couldn't have got that little girl out of there if I tried.
Well, that worked out fine. And how about other problems that happened in the 60s? Student unrest, teachers, did you ever have any teacher strikes?
They didn't call it that. They had a teacher's so-called work day during the last year, I think it was, I was the superintendent, in which they were really protesting to something. The board wasn't providing something in a while. I don't even remember what that was now. But that was very short-lived. So I didn't experience the kind you made it this time of the history.
Well, there were some rather strenuous times that occurred during that episode, but you evidently were able to go along and manage through those. Well, Decatur schools had some honors as well as problems. What were some of the honors that the schools had while you were superintendent or before?
Well, I'll exclude the athletic ones because we had several of those.
Well, I think we ought to mention them, don't you? Or
well,
some of the outstanding ones.
No, I think it was two while I was in there, state basketball champions.
Very good.
From then Decatur High School.
Mm-hmm.
We were recognized, we were recognized by the Freedom, National Freedom Foundation in two ways at least. One as a school system, one of the top school systems in the nation. And I particularly like one of the recognitions because I received one of the seven or eight, what did I call it, most valuable superintendent.
Most efficient and successful?
Superintendent in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
The state of Illinois repeatedly recognized us as a leading educational system in the state, and frequently we're picking representatives from foreign countries coming to visit the United States and school systems. They'd send them out to us.
Very good.
Columbia University invited me to participate in a superintendent of schools seminar for 1 month during my early part of the superintendency in Decatur. So I think we got recognition that was due not because of me alone, but because of the excellent staff I had, and no one could ask for a better one.
But you did have some personal honors, not only the one that we talked about, that you were named one of the five, I believe it was, most efficient and successful school superintendents in Illinois. I believe that was in 1955, was it? I'm sure it was. But you also received a PTA award, didn't you?
Oh, yes. I got the National PTA Membership Award.
Life Membership.
Life Membership.
Very good. And I believe...
I was also, during my tenure, I was president of the Illinois Association of School Administrators.
Right.
And, of course, I was a member of NEA and
mm-hmm.
most Illinois National Curriculum Association, which was very instrumental always in helping plan curriculum and keeping updated on what should be offered in the schools.
You hadn't been in Decatur very long because before you were made president of the Lions Club.
Yes, 1943-44, I was president of the Lions Club. I joined 1938, for the second year I was in Decatur, first year I was mm-hmm. principal of Garfield. And that means at this time I'm about 50 years in there.
Oh, great.
38 and 88.
You probably have had other community associations too.
Many, many of them.
You have.
On the Red Cross board, the Salvation Army, YMCA.
Well, we could go on and on with that,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Good.
Uh-huh. Well, now that you've had a number of years of retirement, how do you spend your time?
Well, I retired from the school system on June the 2nd, 1967, and on June the 5th, 1967, I joined Architectural and Engineering Service Corporation, an organization which designs schools.
Oh, good.
Public utilities like water and sewer systems.
Where is it located?
Indicator.
Indicator. Very good.
And I've been with them ever since.
Well, very fine. Is that a full-time position?
Oh, it was. I'm working only half-time right now, but it was a full-time position. And when I went with them, which was in 1967, school districts were still doing considerable building.
Mm-hmm.
And my main function with them at that time was to contact school districts within 150 miles of Decatur, and particularly small schools, smaller school systems that may not have the staff to do the planning educational-wise that they wanted to do, and then financially-wise to provide the facilities. And I became our company's representative in working with school districts and superintendents like that to provide them with those facilities.
Well, that was an ideal retirement position, wasn't it? Because it drew upon your past experience. It helped the school communities and the architects. It sounds like an ideal position.
It was. I couldn't have thought a better one myself. And as further evidence of my interest in that and their interest in what we were doing, not only in my work, but the company's work, Eastern Illinois University School Administrative Staff and Illinois State University both had me provide workshops for them for students mm-hmm. at those schools in school administration, particularly because the school administrator is the one that had to get the school building program going if they had to.
Well, the superintendent, or the representative, not only had to get the program started, but you knew the needs of the school, so that was a great help.
Well, I felt my experience would be helpful to them, and I think it was, if nothing else, evidence of the fact that they invited me back.
Very good. Do you have any hobbies?
Well, I like to play golf, for one thing. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of a hand craftsman. All this time I've been talking about, I did a lot of refinishing of antique furniture and fixing things that need to be fixed,
good.
You know.
You
I like to do that.
Workshop?
I have one in my basement.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done all my work around the place,
mm-hmm.
except like putting on a new
yeah.
roof. I didn't do that, but
mm-hmm.
yard work and that sort of
mm-hmm.
thing. And so I've kept busy.
Do you and Mrs. Grant like to travel?
We're not much for traveling.
But you do go to see your children and
grandchildren.
Oh, yes.
That's the two directions we go.
Fine.
One to Massachusetts and the other to Texas.
Well, very good.
They haven't always lived there, but
mm-hmm.
when they moved, we moved our direction of travel.
Well, Decatur is once again in the process of choosing a new superintendent. Do you have any advice you would like to offer or would offer?
If this were to be published before they get one chosen, I wouldn't dare make it.
We'll promise that we won't release it.
No, I don't. I think they principally, they know what their needs are
mm-hmm.
and what they want. I don't think I would, the only one thing I would think of, it goes back to what I said earlier, with the problems that they've come upon them since I left, I think they got to talk about the population, student and otherwise, in terms of people and not in terms of what their color or creed is. This makes me feel sorry for the people who can't think otherwise. And I see it happening on both sides of the fence.
Well, the Board of Education has certainly chosen good superintendents in the past, so we know that they will probably come up with another good choice. And
well, I can agree almost entirely with that. They had little difficulty with the successors, who succeeded me,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Jones and...
Well, I wasn't here at that time, and I was just thinking of your successful career, so I really, we have to feel that they made a good choice there when you were chosen. We thank you, Mr. Grant, for sharing your experiences and reminiscences with us, and we join your other many well-wishers in appreciation of your service to Decatur. Thank you very much.
Well, I've appreciated this opportunity to do what I can to leave whatever information might be interesting to some people coming on behind us. And as I said earlier, I do have that tape. I'll be glad to make a copy for the library.
You have been listening to the oral history of Mr. Lester J. Grant, who served the Decatur schools as teacher and superintendent from 1937 to 1967. This is Betty Trunell speaking for the Decatur Public Library.